Today's your lucky day. Look around, kiddo. It's all yours.
What? This?
Yeah. You are now the owner of this fine establishment.
For free?
Free? Oh, ladies, cover your ears. No, not free. Look, hey, this is a squeaky clean, highly profitable, at least potentially, local institution. Looked upon with favor by the Chamber of Commerce, Better Business Bureau, at $312,000. It's a steal.
$312,000.
Don't you get it? On the outside, it's a nail salon, right? On the inside, it's the best money laundry a growing boy could ask for.
That's Saul talking to Jesse, obviously, at the nail salon. This is West Coast Project. My name is Mike. I'm here with Kelly. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, how are you?
I don't know if you remember that scene, Kelly, but that was right after another part of this episode where they're talking to Hank or about Hank and his problems with therapy, and they show a foot getting massaged, and it's freaking Saul. I thought it would be Hank.
No, well, you know, Saul, like we keep saying, he's always having something done to himself. If it's not a massage to full completion, now he's getting his full nail salon experience.
Yeah, he's got two Asian chicks working on him, one on the feet and one on the hands here.
Full treatment.
This is 309 Kafka-esque. We skipped over 308 because Saul is not in 308 ICU. Let's just hit on a couple quick things for 308 and get through it. Saul's not in there, but it's the one where Gail is ousted, Kelly, and he's forced to watch Jesse become his replacement. I felt bad for Gail seeing that.
I felt bad for Gail, too, because I'm sure that that's a Candyland to him, same it is to Walt. He's kind of getting kicked out, and then he meets his, who's he getting replaced by, a beat-up Jesse.
Yeah.
So he's got to really be wondering what the deal is with that.
So a couple other things we saw in 308, or if you remember from 308, the amputated cousin dragging his bloody stumps out of the bed and across the floor.
Yes. You know, real quickly, what's interesting about that is they had to actually use a device. So when he was on the floor, he would hit it so that that would explode so it could make that trail.
That was gruesome.
Yeah, he had to wear green stockings so they could, obviously, he has legs. But yeah, one time it accidentally cut open in the middle and got all over the floor. So a little fun fact there about that scene.
So his green stockings were like green screen. They didn't show up.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. Something else in 308 was Juan Bolsa got wiped out by the Federales while he was on the phone with Gus listening.
Yep.
I think Gus did another phone snap there. It's your favorite thing.
It really is. Maybe I need to do a phone snap count, see how many there's been.
Yeah, and there was another part of 308 where Jesse does the ballooning up his yellow suit. And didn't you do that? Isn't there a picture of you on your website somewhere doing that?
Yes, I did that for the costume contest at the Breaking Bad festival and actually won the costume contest.
That's funny. You have to look at Kelly's website. Which website is that on?
That's on Breaking Bad Fun Facts Facebook. But I have some really good video coming up from it, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, Breaking Bad Fun Facts is awesome. Just check it out, and you can see. It's easy to pick that one out, too, because it's a yellow balloon. It just stands right out from all the other pictures.
Yeah.
So 309 is Kafka-esque. This whole deal with this nail salon is Saul is going to money launder their money by just channeling the money through the salon, I guess, and I don't know what the deal is, how it gets through there to the back end, but Saul does call it the best money laundering deal a growing boy could get, so.
Well, you like his technique that he uses showing the money laundering and how it works. He uses pink nail polish for Pinkman.
Exactly. That was funny.
Yeah.
So he kind of makes, he reminds Jesse that Capone got nailed for the IRS, not for all the crimes he did. And he also won't give Jesse the same deal on the money laundering that he's giving Walt. Saul, man, he's going to give Walt 5% fee and still charge Jesse 17.
Well, like we've been saying, Jesse doesn't get the same respect. And even when he came up, Saul asked him, "Where's Walt? Parking the minivan?" So they're always looking for Wallen to give him a better deal. He said it was a seniority discount, you know, or senior discount, one or the other.
Yeah, well, seniority, I guess, meaning that he was there longer than Jesse.
Yeah.
Still, got to give the guys the same deal. Crazy. But that was it. There wasn't that much more for Saul in this episode, but there's a lot of other good stuff in this episode. I think we should talk about some of it.
Yeah, really quickly, one thing about Saul, if you noticed, it was his Bob Odenkirk's idea when he stands up with the water all over and he's got his nice pantsuits rolled up in the midst of getting this pedicure and runs after Jesse. And if you see, he kind of slips. That was all Bob Odenkirk's idea, and that slip was real. So that was pretty comical part.
Yeah, I would guess that Odenkirk's been in a few foot massage joints in his life.
I would imagine so.
The real Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah.
But let's talk about some of this other stuff. So early in the episode, we see the Pollos Hermanos chicken commercial about how Gus's chicken products go all around the Southwest.
Yep. I wish it was real. It looks delicious.
Of course, they're showing chicken, but that also shows how drugs could get distributed in the same manner.
Yes.
Okay, now here I pulled out my calculator, Kelly, so bear with me on this. But I figured out some of the things that I had made mistakes in before. So they're weighing some of the meth, and it's 201.6 pounds. And they're supposed to be making 200 pounds a week, if you remember from the earlier conversation from Gus saying he needs 200 pounds a week to make that lab run.
Right.
Jesse wants to take out the extra 1.6 pounds and keep it. But there's something wrong with that, because even if they're making more than 200 pounds, that's still Gus's product. It's not their product, right? It's Gus's raw materials and Gus's lab and all that. It's not, doesn't belong to them just because it's extra.
Right, and that's kind of the immaturity that Jesse sometimes shows. That, you know, I mean, but that is quite a difference. He was saying 3 million versus, what, 9 million or something were his calculations.
Yeah, well, here's what I came up with. Okay, so Jesse says it's $40,000 a pound wholesale, and I had said it was, I had said it was less than that, but it is $80 a teenth. In that earlier episode, that was just me projecting. It's not that accurate. It's actually $150 a teenth. And a teenth is a 16th of an ounce, not a 16th of a pound. An ounce is a 16th of a pound. So a teenth, you got to multiply by 16 teenths to get 1 ounce. And then you got to multiply that number by 16 to get a pound. So anyway, all this math leaves us with is Jesse did it for us. It's $96 million in sales for those 3 months, and they're getting $3 million to make the meth.
Right.
But it's in a way, it's rather silly for Jesse to say, hey, we're getting screwed. All this other money is just Gus's, because Gus has to buy some things to make this meth happen. There's material costs, right? All the raw materials in the meth.
Right, and all the trucks that it goes out in, and all the thing, all the risks that he takes, and all the people he has to pay to keep quiet.
Yeah, all the electricity, all the security, all the, like you said, the transportation. So, I don't know. You gotta kind of look at it the way Walt does. I think that if you like what you're getting paid, don't do the math backwards and think you're getting screwed. Just be happy with what you were happy with in the beginning.
Exactly. I mean, how excited were they in the beginning back in the RV when they were making, you know, they were doing that high five. They were making some minimal amount of money, and they were all excited about it. So,
yeah,
greed is a slippery slope for sure.
But in weighing that first batch, or that one batch they weighed, 201.6, that 1.6 pounds is worth over $50,000 if they were to just take it out and keep it. So it's not like, hey, let's just shave a little bit off. It's worth a big chunk of change to do that.
I know, yeah.
So some other stuff in this episode. Gomi tells Hank that he was right. You were right, dude. You're the only one who saw this coming. So Hank was right to get the trail of, to keep on the trail of the blue meth back home in Albuquerque.
Right. So has Gomez just returned from El Paso because of his shooting, or did he never leave?
I'm not sure. I would think a job like that, he's probably going to be back and forth a few times. But yeah, I don't know the answer to that. That's a good question.
Yeah, it never seems like he actually leaves, but maybe that's just we don't pay much attention to that part. Yeah.
So a couple other things I picked out. You know, we know how Vince Gilligan's a culture hound and he loves other movies and stuff. But there's a scene in the parking lot where Skyler asks, "Are we safe?" And I thought that was a throwback to Marathon Man, where Laurence Olivier asked Dustin Hoffman, "Is it safe?"
I don't know. That's interesting. Yeah, you're right. Vince Gilligan is into those movies, classics.
Yep. So the name game, the name Kafka-esque, comes from the therapy meeting where Jesse tells about his job, how he has to go beneath a laundromat, and how his boss is a dick and it sucks. And one of the other people in the treatment in the meeting says, "Sounds kind of Kafka-esque." And Jesse doesn't even know what it means, but he says, "Yeah, it's totally Kafka-esque."
I didn't know what it meant either. So you do learn from watching your dad.
Franz Kafka. He was an old time, like early 19th century philosopher, and he wrote a lot of weird stuff, but that was Franz Kafka is how they came up with that. So what else did we learn in this episode? Hank needs money for therapy, and the Whites are going to pay. They are going to help Hank pay for therapy.
Skyler really slickly made that happen, where Hank or Walt couldn't have possibly said no. And he's looking at her like, "Are you crazy?"
Yeah. Yeah, they talk about it. They talk about it, about how it's a blackjack thing. Let's go kind of in order here. So there's some other important stuff happens. Gus and Walt have a meeting. And did you know, Kelly, when you saw 1 minute, did you know all this was going to be connected? Did you know, like, that call? And I mean, you have to look at this backwards, right, to connect all these dots.
No, I leave it to Walt to explain it to me, really, because he's had Gus figured out, and that whole meeting was so important. And then I finally realized, oh, now I see how much of a mastermind Gus is with this whole situation.
Yeah. That meeting between Gus and Walt is the crux of this whole episode. In fact, I'm going to make that meeting the picture for this podcast. It's going to be on the top of the podcast because it's just so important of a thing that Walt says to Gus. He tells Gus, "I think I was the target. And that call, I think, came from you, Gus. And I think this is what that call means." You know, first of all, that call saved Walt. Well, Gus has actually made two calls, right? He made the call when the boys were about to axe him that time in the bedroom. And then he made the call to Hank, telling him that he had 1 minute and men were after him to kill him. And that shootout means that both sides are bloodied. Both sides are involved in it. And then it turned the American and Mexican governments against the cartel.
Right. I thought, what a nice guy. And that's my fault, is thinking like, oh, Gus saved Hank for Walt so they could have like good tidings. But it wasn't. It was because he wanted this bloody shootout in the middle of a parking lot. Turn those different governments against each other.
Yeah, really. That shootout in a public mall parking lot was going to raise a lot of bad things between the Mexican and American governments. Like, we got to stop this shit. We can't have this shit happening in either Mexico or America. So let's wipe out this cartel. The supply of meth is now cut off from Mexico. So that leaves Gus to be the only one who has meth in the whole Southwest. And for him to enjoy all the profits for being the only supplier in the Southwest.
Yep, he's a mastermind. I never would have thought of that. He's just always one step ahead, or three steps ahead, for that matter.
So there's a question here at the end of all this by Walt. What happens when the 3 months end? And I don't know if we mentioned it at the time, but when Jesse was in the hospital, he asked the same question. What's going to happen when this 3 months is up? Which is a damn good question, because we know Gus has a super ulterior motive.
Right.
Gus tells Walt, though, at this point, Gus tells Walt, "You can have an extension. I'll go another three more three-month stretches. So that's $12 million. And in fact, I'll make it $15 million. Let's just round it off." So Gus offers him $15 million a year to keep this whole party going.
Yeah, and he also guarantees the safety of the family, too.
Yeah. And we saw a little weird scene after this is where Walt is driving in the Aztec. He just keeps going faster and faster, and eventually he passes out. What did you see the meaning of this, Kelly? What was the meaning behind that?
Well, I didn't take it that he passed out. Maybe I needed to rewatch it, but I think just like when he went up to Tuco's the first time he came out after blowing up that building and his nose was bleeding and he was grabbing the steering wheel, I think he needs, when he gets out of control, that had to be some kind of just wanting to feel alive.
Yeah.
Why else would you, you know, because he just kind of shut his eye. At first he shut his eyes, in my opinion, on purpose.
You think he's just kind of drunk on power? Like, things are kind of going his way now.
Yeah, I really don't know. I thought to myself it seemed like he just wanted to feel alive. But then, you're right, he just got a $15 million deal, so how would he not feel alive?
He feels almost unbeatable, I think. It's Heisenberg's,
yeah,
like...
you know what? I bet you that's what it is. Mm-hmm.
So a couple other cool things we saw at the meeting, at the therapy meeting. Jesse tells the story of his woodworking, how he made the box and traded it for weed.
Right. Tells it. Says he made it for his mom and then had to admit that he really didn't, that he traded it for weed.
Of course, we see a very, very important payoff on that near the end of the whole series. But we see later on Ted but really bugging Skylar. He shows up at her house and she wants nothing to do with having him there.
She sends some mixed messages. Well, you know, she's really starting to cool off from him.
So a couple other scenes. Jesse longs for the old days when he was just slinging and selling and he was able to be his own boss. So he's going to start to trim a little bit of Gus's production and underreport the weight. And we see him actually do that. It weighs in at 201.8 and 202.1, and he calls it 201.8, right? He underreports the weight.
Mm-hmm.
And so those 3 ounces at that math we did earlier are worth about $7,500.
Yep, and he's got his boys back to be involved. You know, they're always motivated to go sell meth. So he's kind of got his little crew.
Yeah, and he's going to work that into the recovery group. They're going to use the recovery group as the customer base for this new product that they're going to steal.
Yeah, nowhere else in Breaking Bad could you see something like that. I mean, you've got Skinny Pete and Badger in recovery talking about how great the blue stuff is so that these people's mouths start watering for their own.
It's relatively sick, yeah. A little bit later, Walt polishes one of the tanks to perfection, tipping us off to Fly. Fly was a really interesting episode. We're actually not going to do that episode because Saul's not in it, but that was episode 10 of season 3.
Yeah, Fly is the only episode that was a canned episode where they didn't actually go off the set. They used one set the entire episode. And Vince Gilligan did admit that that was due to production and things. So it's not people's favorite episode.
People love it or hate it.
Right.
And then this episode ends with Walt. The reason for all this money that the Whites have is because of Walt's blackjack skills. And this story gets whipped up by Skylar at the hospital with Marie and Walt. Walt didn't even know she was going to tell it. Skylar spins the whole story while they watch. And they're just fascinated by listening to her.
Had she thought of this? I had missed the bullet points. Was that before me?
I don't remember. But
they come up with the whole idea of doing the. Is he already a gambler in their minds?
That was the episode bullet points.
Yeah. Do they already think he's a gambler with a gambling problem yet?
Let me take a look. Well, they do now at this point for sure. Let me see where bullet points is. Was that when bullet points?
Yeah, that's where they have to come up with their story.
Yeah, bullet points is in season 4, episode 4, and this and still here we're in season 3, episode 9. So.
And they're saying that he's a gambler already?
Just now, I think Skylar pulled this out of her ass in the hospital. Like, she had a little bit of a thread of an idea and she fleshed it out in this 3 minutes at the end of this episode.
Okay, yeah.
It's actually pretty funny to watch because Skylar's telling the story about how Walt developed these blackjack skills And Marie kind of leans in like, wow, that's interesting. And even Walt leans in to listen to it. He doesn't know she's going to do it, I don't think. I think she just spins it out of her ass.
No, I apologize. That's when they buy the car wash. That's what they had to spin the story for. So, yeah, he's completely off guard with this whole thing and all this hard money that he's using to get for his family. She's just like, oh, we'll pay for all your bills. And you can just see the color in his face drain.
Yeah, Marie even leans in and says, how much money? And Walt leans back, and you can see his Heisenberg kicks in, and he just says really proudly, well, seven figures. Like, you know, he just takes credit for this fake lie that Skyler just made up.
Yeah, that was very Heisenberg.
All right, Kelly, so we said number 10 is Fly, and Saul's not in it. We might hit on a couple points in it when we do 11, but our next podcast will be for 311 ABQ. Do you know what that word means, by the way, ABQ? Is it just ABQ, the initials? Because they spell it out a different way.
I just thought it was Albuquerque, because it's part of that. Isn't it part of that, the play on the titles for the episodes?
Was it? Maybe. They spell it A-B-I-Q-U-I-U.
Oh, then maybe not. I when you said ABQ, I just thought it was ABQ. But yeah, they do spell it differently. I'll have to look into that because I'm going to listen to some information on that one. I'll see what they say.
Cool. So we have no special timing on our podcast release dates. We're just trying to get through them quickly. We'll probably be releasing them every other day, almost every day or two or three days, taking a little bit of a break around the holidays. But if you want to connect with us, connect to West Coast Project. My Twitter is @scathingtweets. What's your Twitter, Kelly?
It's BRBA_funfacts.
All right, cool. So our next podcast will be ABQ, however you spell it, and we'll see you then.
See you later.